Okay, welcome everybody back to the Bridget Bartley Show. I'm so excited to be Skyping with one of my close friends, Brittany Carr. She actually lives right outside of Santa Barbara. And for those of you who may not have seen Brittany through social media, Brittany is a leading expert in holistic living, nutrition, vaccine education, as well as vaccine injury. She's a huge advocate for personal development. She is a certified vaccine education specialist. She is a holistic health coach, a master NLP practitioner, which I love, also a business coach. She has also authored The Silent Scandal and Empowered Parenting, and she's also the creator and founder of an international online community now, Matrix Mothers, which is phenomenal, and also the vice president of Hope Academy, which is a nonprofit dedicated to medical freedom and vaccine injury awareness. And Brittany has been featured on radio stations around the world. She's a sought-after trainer and speaker. Prior to these days, you may have seen Brittany as a former actress and model and music video dancer. She has multi-talented, but Brittany and I met about 5 years ago, actually, in San Diego, and we'll get into that story in just a second. But thank you, Brittany, for dialing on.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for that beautiful introduction, Bridget. I am honored and super pumped to be on your amazing show. So thank you for having me.
It's so cool. And technology. And it's funny because people may think we're tech savvy, but we're really not tech savvy. Like, we didn't really even know how to get on the Skype. So thank goodness that we have people that help support us in that. So just to get right into it, first of all, thanks for dialing in so early, because even though it's later in the afternoon here in South Carolina, you're in California. Yes. And it's way earlier. And as both moms of three, we know what our schedules are like. But just a little bit about my story. Brittany, I know you know my story, but a lot of people out there really haven't heard my full story about vaccines and vaccine injury. And this is actually a topic that I am extremely passionate in, is I say educate before you vaccinate. And so one of the stories with my oldest son is he had a lot of health challenges when he was younger, to the point that he basically should have died, I felt like. But at the age of 4, he started having all these symptoms with his skin, with his health. We traveled all over the nation for a couple of years to try to find medical relief. And it just did not really resonate with me because he was completely healthy until that 4-year visit. And eczema was his top symptom of what was happening. And it was through nutrition and detoxing the body that really started to bring him relief and brought his body back to healing. But what I realized, and it was actually a doctor in PICU when he was going in for a brain scan, because they thought, like, does he have a brain tumor? Like, what's wrong with him? Because he had all these symptoms, but medically they could not find anything. But it was a doctor in PICU at one of our local hospitals, and he said, have him tested for vaccine. And so we found that he had reactions to two of his vaccines, pertussis and varicella, which explained the skin issues. But then he also tested positive for heavy metal toxicity, which when you look at those, just at those, it all made sense to me at that point. And that's when I really took detox to the next level and got healthy with it. And that was really our first common ground when we were introduced, was vaccines. So, I mean, we're just going to jump right into it with the vaccines and you live the lifestyle because you are on a self-sustaining farm. You built this farm in Santa Barbara and you're self-sustaining. So tell us a little bit about your lifestyle first and then how you got passionate about the vaccine movement.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing your story of vaccine injury. You know, I think it's very, very brave of you to speak out and to share. There's so many parents and specifically mothers that are really silenced or they're bullied into silence regarding what they know happened to their child. And that's one of my passions and really the fire behind a lot of my work is to uncover and to show the truth about what's really happening to our children across this nation with the pharmaceutical industry. And, you know, I call it the medical mafia, which is a pretty aggressive statement, but I do believe we're fighting some really severe forces in terms of the pharmaceutical industry and the toxic food industry. And that's really where I started. Was I was an activist against GMOs, you know, 10, 15 years ago. I was marching against Monsanto before it was in the headlines and trendy like it is now. And now we're seeing these huge lawsuits. I mean, we just saw a $2 billion lawsuit, which is the 8th largest lawsuit ever recorded in history worldwide for settlements. And so Monsanto, which is now Bayer, just lost that. And their Roundup has been proven to be carcinogenic. So we've been fighting this battle for a really long time. And it really, you know, it was the same thing that happened to you, Bridget. Like, I became a mom. And I think that when you become a parent, your eyes are open to things that you weren't aware of prior to that. And so I got pregnant with my oldest daughter. I was pretty young. I was 25. I was acting and modeling in Hollywood and, you know, doing that whole lifestyle. And it was pretty toxic. And I just, my soul was really called to holistic nutrition, detoxification. I had overcome a drug addiction in my early teens. And so I had always been a big believer in natural healing and natural health. And so when I got pregnant with Kayla, it just was a no-brainer for me to really dig in and research. And so just like I researched my diapers and my baby wipes and organic crib mattresses and all of the things, car seats, all of the things that parents research, but we're not taught to research vaccines. And so instantly I was like, you know, I want to look at the ingredients of what's in these products. And I went on the CDC website and I was absolutely horrified at what was on there. I actually thought I must have clicked on the wrong link at first, because I was like, there's no way there's formaldehyde and polysorbate 80 and, you know, aborted human tissue in this. And why isn't anybody talking about this is being injected to our kids? So that was really the catalyst for me. And then my middle daughter, I think we've spoken about this privately before, but my middle daughter, I was bullied into receiving a round of vaccines with her at her 3-month checkup. And she developed a 16-month sleep disorder from one vaccine. Now I asked for the DTaP and then she was given the Hib, I found later when I pulled her medical records. So it just infuriated me as a parent that number one, we weren't being educated. Number two, we weren't receiving informed consent, which we can break down really what that is, because a lot of people don't even understand that they're being medically experimented on. So it was just, it's been a battle. It's been a journey. It's not easy. But in the process of just being brave and sharing my story and speaking to others, I've had the privilege of working with tens of thousands of vaccine injured families all around the world. And I really believe that this is a global epidemic. I mean, we have the sickest generation of children ever recorded in our nation's history. We have 54% of children with chronic disease and illness. So it's a topic we need to discuss. And I really appreciate you opening up the platform today to talk about it.
Oh, absolutely. And so what people don't understand, it's not only the vaccines, but the quantity of the vaccines, but even what they're binding the vaccines with. So I went on the CDC website and this is straight from the CDC. And in 1983, CDC recommended 22 doses of 7 vaccines by the age of 6. And just 2 years ago, 2017, it is now up to 50 doses of 14 vaccines. So it is literally doubled. And not only the quantity of the vaccines, well, the quantity on both sides of it by the age of 6. And again, you know, I tell people educate before you vaccinate, and how vaccination is not immunization, but educating them, because it's not so much the vaccine, but it's what they're binding it with. And so when he tested positive for metal toxicity in aluminum and copper, like, how do you get these metals in your body? And, you know, going into what happens when you have heavy metal toxicity and when it crosses the blood-brain barrier, that's what's causing the autism, the ADD, and how it's a higher risk for boys now than it is for girls. And so when you look at those stats, it all adds up. Mm-hmm. It all adds up. So what's going on with, I know that I've seen you celebrate the recent win in California with the, I think it's called AB 421. I'm not exactly sure what that is, but I follow you with everything. I know there's some stuff happening in New York and up north. Yes. They're still working on one of the Senate bills, 276, 277. But tell us, I am. I follow you closely. I am passionate. I don't speak up and speak out about it enough, but I follow you because, I mean, I admire the courage that you have to go to the White House, to go to the CDC, to do what you're doing, because, you know, you get the hate mail for sure. I know you do. I know you get it. But what's happening right now in California where, you know, with the Senate bills and if you don't vaccinate your child, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a dark time here. And, you know, so 4 years ago, we fought a bill called SB 277 that was introduced by Dr. Richard Pan, Senator Richard Pan and Senator Ben Allen, and it was to take away the personal belief exemption that we had in the state of California to opt out of vaccination. You used to be able to just sign a waiver. It's against your personal belief. We actually never had religious exemptions here in California. People get confused with that. But every single state across the nation has some sort of exemptions to opt out of vaccines. So that should tell people something right there, that there is no one size fits all medicine for anybody. And to say that in a statement and not think that one child might be allergic to something when another wouldn't, like, imagine if we mandated penicillin or peanut butter or anything else. You can't do that because genetically we're different and the body is, you know, responds to things differently. And we're talking about, you know, infants that haven't had anything but breast milk or possibly formula. And we somehow have been brainwashed to think it's safe to inject, you know, 14 different diseases into them by the time that they're 1 year old. I mean, it's just insane. So we are fighting a bill right now. Basically, SB 277 was passed January 1st, 2016. Governor Brown signed it into law, took away our personal belief exemptions. We were promised that the medical exemption part of that bill would stay intact. A medical exemption is when, you know, you go to a doctor. I know your children have done this, and the doctor says your children cannot be vaccinated anymore. They've had adverse events, you know, reported. You have a family history of autoimmune, cancer, seizure disorders, you know, developmental delays, whatever it may be, and your children are allergic to the components in vaccines. I'm going to write you a waiver so that you can opt out. So that is a personal relationship between a physician that's actually seeing the child and treating them and understanding that with every vaccine comes the risk of injury and death. It's written in the inserts. It's documented through our vaccine adverse event reporting system and the vaccine injury compensation program, which we can talk about. But it's a fact. You can die or be injured from a vaccine. It's a pharmaceutical product. And so what they're doing now is Senator Pan has brought in a new bill where they're coming after medical exemptions, and they're saying doctors shouldn't have the right to be in charge of this anymore. We're going to create a separate state department that's never going to see these children. They are going to decide if these children are medically, you know, fragile enough to outgo vaccines, which they're going to deny all of them. We already know that's going to happen. So it's actually quite insane when you hear it out loud. It makes zero sense. And, you know, we have him testifying, you know, lying. He was using Facebook quotes as part of his presentation. He's just a complete puppet for the pharmaceutical industry. And we know through some of our inside forces at the Capitol that he's received upwards of possibly $1 million to propagate this bill from the pharmaceutical industry. So, you know, everybody knows that politics is corrupt. And people will agree on that 100%. They're like, yeah, politicians are corrupt. There's big industry and everything. But for some reason, when you say, well, people are being bought out for vaccine policy, there's a huge pushback. There's like, oh, no. Well, that couldn't happen. But it is happening. And we have documentation that it's happening. And so if you look at Senator Pan's sponsors, they're all Merck, Glaxo, you know, Pfizer, you know, all of these huge pharmaceutical companies. And I think it's important to note that every single vaccine maker on the market today has been sued for fraud for other products. So as a parent, you would never, ever, ever allow your child near a product where the manufacturer had been sued for fraud, convicted of fraud, and then the product that you were potentially buying for your child had zero liability. Mm-hmm. So we can kind of break that down because I feel like that's important for people to understand, but that's what we're dealing with in California. We're fighting to keep our medical exemptions. You know, it's less than like 2% of children in California that have medical exemptions. So it's a very small population, but they're going to come after everyone. There's bills for adult mandates. I mean, this is a huge pharmaceutical war across the nation. So we're seeing bills in New York. We're seeing bills in Colorado, Oregon, Texas. You know, people, there's a lot of states that are killing the bills. And then there's a lot of states like Maine just lost their religious exemption. So it's kind of a divided nation right now, which is interesting, and it's a little bit scary, but it's definitely something that we all, as citizens of the United States and around the world, we need to be aware that this is happening.
Well, and why do you think it's all about the big pharma, right? I mean, why do you think they're using it? Because we know what's happening in the big pharma with the adults, with, you know, we talk about the red, blue, what is it? The red pill, blue pill, white pill, where, yeah, you know, you have a symptom, they prescribe a medication for you. But the fact that they're trickling it down into the children, what do you think that's about?
I mean, I think it's ultimately just about greed and control. So with the parents, and I say mothers specifically, but I know there's a lot of fathers in the fight too. So parents are the only protective agent that is standing against the pharmaceutical greed and their children. And what I mean by that is that these companies are, they're already convicted felons. I mean, that is a fact. They have been sued for multi-million dollar settlements for multiple products. And there's no liability for vaccines. So you actually, a child cannot sue. So if your child dies or gets injured from a vaccine, and I know you went through this with your son, you cannot sue the doctor. You cannot sue the vaccine maker. You have to go through, it's a superficial court system that was set up after the 1986 law was passed. And it's called the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. And to date, over $4 billion with a B has been paid out to vaccine injuries and deaths through the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. But that is paid out through other parents buying the vaccines. It's paid out from taxpayers' money because every vaccine has a 75-cent tax attached to it, and that goes into the fund. And so people don't know this. They don't know that when they go to get their child vaccinated, they're paying blood money into a fund for other kids' deaths. Like, as a parent, that would infuriate me. I would be disgusted by that. But again, parents aren't taught this. Doctors aren't even taught this. A lot of physicians don't know. So there's a huge disconnect between our governing agencies, the CDC, the FDA, the AMA, all of these agencies that were built to protect public health. They have become mouthpieces for the pharmaceutical industry. And for those listening that might think that sounds like some sort of conspiracy or that's not grounded in truth, did you know that the CDC owns over 56 vaccine patents? The CDC is a vaccine company disguised as public health. So we have, when you're saying, why is this happening to children? It's greed and corruption and power. And so they know that if they scare parents enough, if they take away enough of our civil liberties, then they are going to have access to the entire population. And that's what we're seeing right now. If we don't stand up, rise up as a nation, fight for our medical freedom, your medical freedom is your bodily autonomy. Like, that is a gift from God. Like, that is your divine under the Nuremberg Code. Like, we know that that is a human rights violation to be medically experimented on. This is what Hitler did in the concentration camps, right? And without getting too morbid, this is what they're doing. And people, a lot of Americans don't want to wake up. They don't want to know that this is happening. They're so brainwashed by the constant advertising. And if you watch regular TV, people are like, oh, why isn't the news talking about this? The news is owned by the pharmaceutical companies. And all you have to do is turn on the TV and count how many drug ads you see. Every 10, 15 seconds, there's another drug ad. So they are the biggest funders of the advertising world in television. And so, of course, we don't really hear the truth. So shows like this, social media, YouTube, all these things, that's how we're really educating the masses. And so it's a powerful movement. And that's why you're seeing so much hate in the media right now against quote unquote anti-vaxxers. Like, we're really just people that have done the research. We know the truth. And we're like, hey, this is against our constitutional rights, our freedoms, and we're protecting our babies.
Well, and then going back to the VARs, so we never even filed his injury at all. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know it pays out for people with vaccine injuries, but I mean, I can only imagine the number of parents and number of children who have not even filed their injury. Because for me at the time, I could care less about being compensated. I just wanted my child to be healed and I wanted his health restored. So I can't even imagine. I mean, that's just documented stats. Who knows who knows what goes undocumented. So what are some of the common vaccines that I know we hear about the vaccines, but like Gardasil is a big one. The flu shot is huge. I mean, I know even for us in South Carolina in the hospitals, I mean, it's mandatory. I have so many friends that work in the hospitals and in some of the business places here, they are required to get the flu vaccine. And yes, they can't even, and they don't realize they can take the religious exemption for it, but because it's a private entity, they can, you know, force them to have that. But just to give people an awareness of what is in a flu vaccine, because that's a common one, the flu vaccine.
Yeah. So the ingredients in the flu vaccine, and just to back up a second, because you mentioned something that I think is really important regarding VARs and the documentation being really low. So on average, I mean, there's been over 500,000 reports to the VAERS database. And it's quite a process to report a vaccine injury. People are like, oh, it's a self-reporting system. No, you need medical documentation. It takes a long time. I've walked people through it. It's a nightmare, which is why people don't want to go through it. But the HHS, which is the Department of Health and Human Services, did an independent, or they did a study several years ago, and they found that less than 1% of all vaccine injuries were being reported. So if you take the current numbers in VAERS and you realize that it's less than 1%, we're looking at epidemic numbers. And last year alone, in 2018, there was over 58,000 submissions to the VAERS database, which VAERS just stands for Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. And that's our government tracking site for vaccine injuries and deaths. And specifically, the flu vaccine has the highest rate of injuries. Guillain-Barré, people say it different ways, but that is a form of paralysis. It's actually a form of polio type symptoms. And it's one of the most common side effects from the flu vaccine. So people are, and you'll see it in the news, you know, a gentleman in Texas got the flu vaccine, he's paralyzed, he has Guillain-Barré, like, and people don't even realize that it's super, super common. So the ingredients in the flu vaccine aren't as horrific as some of the other vaccines. I mean, it's got, you know, it has genetically modified egg protein in it. It's got chemicals and detergents and, you know, things like that. But the ones that are really, like, Gardasil is a great one to bring up. That's the HPV vaccine. They're trying to mandate it in New York for 9-year-olds, which is just so insane. I mean, 40 people died in the trials of it. And what they did, Merck's actually currently about to begin a lawsuit for that. We have some people for Children's Health Defense Fund, which is Robert Kennedy's association. They're actually going to be suing Merck for the Gardasil scandal. But Gardasil has been held on trial in multiple countries around the world. Like, Japan pulled it off the schedule. Ireland had huge summits about it. We had a lot of deaths in Mexico and Malaysia. And, like, I mean, all over the world, you're seeing young girls and boys destroyed from this vaccine. And what they did in the testing process is they didn't, first of all vaccine, no vaccine is tested against a true placebo. Like, they're tested against other vaccines, which alters the numbers of injuries, because you're testing a neurotoxin against a neurotoxin or a poison against a poison. You're not actually getting a true placebo. And what they did with Gardasil was, in the clinical trials, they actually tested against people that were receiving injections of aluminum, which aluminum is one of the main components in the Gardasil. It's one of the adjuvants in the Gardasil vaccine. So they were able to, like, skew the numbers, which is completely scientific fraud on any level. It's highly corrupt. And they knew, I mean, it has never been proven to stop cervical cancer. Never. Like, no documentation, no studies even remotely show that it has any effect on cervical cancer. But what we do see is that it actually can cause cancers. It can cause massive neurological damage. It can paralyze. I mean, there are so many girls in wheelchairs, and it's insane. So Gardasil is a very, very dangerous shot. And I find that those two, Bridget, though, like, flu and Gardasil, people are like, oh, well, yeah, I don't believe in those. Like, they're like, I've heard those are bad, but then they're still, like, pro MMR, pro varicella, right, pro hepatitis B. Like, they haven't quite figured out that every single vaccine is fraudulent if you look deep enough.
Well, and then people, I feel like, don't even realize you can't prevent cancer by a shot. I mean, there's cancer going down, because you and I are both nutrition activists, where it's when your body's acidic, you have toxins in your body. You can't prevent cancer by a shot. There's just no way, no way at all. And so we were talking earlier about, before we got into the full recording, about what's happening, like, to the aborted feces and the abortion rates. And I see a lot of people sharing a little bit more, which I admire the people who have a courage to put their voice out into the world about pro-choice, pro-life, and basically just pro-choice, like, allowing women a choice. What was some of the stuff that you were talking about that in relation to, like, pro-choice?
I am all about women's rights and being an activist. And I think it's amazing when any citizen rises up and uses their voice for power, for good, or to stand against corruption. Like, so I'm always going to support that. What's very interesting right now is that there's this huge movement of, you know, my body, my choice, pro-choice, all of these things. But at the same time, a lot of those people are pro-vaccine, and they're like, vaccinate your kids, you know, get these unvaccinated children that are quote unquote spreading diseases, which is biologically impossible. You cannot spread a disease you don't have, that you haven't been injected with. And people who are vaccinated are actually at a greater risk for shedding mm-hmm. on the population, which we can break that down. But I think what people don't understand is the amount of abortions that, and pro-lifers on the other side of it. So the people saying we're pro-abortion, my body, my choice, except with vaccines, that's very hypocritical when you think about, okay, but you want to be able to have a right to abort your baby, but once that baby is born, you don't want to have a right of what's being injected into it. Like, they haven't thought that far. Like, they don't know what's happening. And then on the pro-life side, you really cannot be pro-life and anti-abortion and pro-vaccine. It's like being a vegan who vaccinates. You can't. If you're doing that, you're not understanding the industry that you're supporting, because there are hundreds and hundreds of abortions, if not thousands of abortions, that go into the pharmaceutical industry and specifically into vaccines. There are two fetal cell lines that are currently used in the development of the vaccines that are on the market, but there's lots of vaccines in production that are using human lines. One of them is MRC-5 and one of them is WI-38. There's a male line and a female line. So I know you and I have talked about this at dinner and we've gotten super like fired up about it, but we are injecting male DNA into females and female DNA into males, babies, with zero scientific studies showing the long-term mutagenic, carcinogenic, reproductive issues that are associated with putting other human DNA into the body. I mean, just saying that, it sounds like icky, right? You're like, oh no, I don't want that. So, yeah.
Well, and then we wonder, and this is going to just kind of open up a whole different way of thinking, I feel like, for people, but you know, we're injecting things like the MRC5 into their bodies, and then we're wondering why there's such an epidemic or awakening or whatever you want to call it with transgender these days. I mean, I am meeting more and more people that are in this, I don't know what the political correct terms are as far as like gender dysphoria and all that, but where males are wanting to become females, females become males, but I can understand it from a genetic level because mm-hmm. they're being injected with it. So genetically, they feel like they are the opposite sex.
Yeah,
I don't think they realize that.
People don't. Here's the thing: parents don't realize that. If you were to take a parent, sit them down before they decided to vaccinate their baby or not, because I'm all about, I'm pro medical freedom choice. If you do all of the research and you still feel that vaccines are safe and effective for your family, and you choose to inject that into your body, then that is your choice. I'm under the level of thought that if you were to see all of the facts, you probably would change your mind. Because if you sat a parent down and you said, listen, there's zero liability for this product that we're going to inject into your precious brand new baby that can only have breast milk or formula. It's filled with known documented neurotoxins and known carcinogens, which have hundreds and hundreds of peer-reviewed studies, scientific journals showing the neurological damage and cell damage that can happen. No vaccine has ever been tested for carcinogenic properties, its ability to cause cancer, mutagenic properties, or long-term reproductive issues. So we don't know if this shot is going to affect your child's ability to procreate later. And it's filled with male and female DNA. On top of that, it's filled with multiple different animal strains of DNA, genetically modified organisms, detergents, and a bunch of other solvents. How do you feel about injecting this into your baby? Like, no parent in their right mind would say, here's my child. Mm-hmm. They would run out of that office so fast. And under that umbrella of understanding, like, that is true informed consent. Doctors are actually supposed to, under the 1986 Childhood Vaccine Injury Protection Act, they are supposed to sit down with their client and say, here is the law. I'm not liable. They're not liable. You're the only person that's liable for your child's injuries. Here's the ingredients. Here's the Bear, this is how VAERS works. Like, they are supposed to inform parents and they don't. So in my view, every single pediatrician, every single nurse, every single doctor that is participating in the practice of vaccination without informed consent is committing medical malpractice and they should be held liable. Now, we don't see that happening. I think that that's the next revolutionary step we need to take. But in terms of the aborted fetal tissue, I mean, it's a huge problem. We've never seen gender confusion. People are like, oh, we're better at diagnosing. We're more liberal. We're more open. I mean, you have kids that are 8, 9, and 10 years old that are super confused, and we've never seen that before. So what's happening to our babies? Why? And if we had the science to back it up, which we don't, then we could rule out vaccines. But right now we do not have the science to rule vaccines out. And in fact, most of the science is leaning towards vaccines being the catalyst and the culprit. I don't believe that. I mean, I think everyone that's been vaccinated is vaccine injured on some level, but we can't blame vaccines for everything. So I think there's a combination of toxic overload for kids, but I believe vaccines are in that top 1 to 2 things that are really the catalyst that's perpetuating these issues.
But again, it goes back to educating yourself and knowing what you're putting into your body, because there's so many things just in the short amount of time that you just shared. I mean, that's enough information for people to sit back and question, like, okay, what am I putting in my body? Or what if when I have children, you know, what decision are we going to make? And so one of the things that I know has been big lately are these whole genetic testings, the 23andMe, the Vitagenes. And I didn't realize this until after I actually had it done, that what they're doing with the DNA samples. And I was just curious about it one day, but, you know, and this is all public records, public knowledge, but basically what they're doing is they're sharing genetic data with pharmaceutical companies, and they are they're selling it to people like GlaxoSmithKline, Google, other drug companies like Procter and Gamble, Pantene, Pepto-Bismol, Crest, all these people, because they're developing new studies, or they want to do new studies on aging, but also developing new drugs and new products. And so when you're swabbing your mouth and you're sending your DNA. But then they also, I mean, we could go into like the conspiracy stuff, but then they're talking about how they're trying to track bloodlines and track people down and that sort of thing. But
it's a little too much for people, I think, on that note. Yeah,
but people don't like when you're doing that, they're selling your DNA.
Yeah. And I think that it's hard for Americans. Like we have, let's just be honest, we've been raised in a really cushy environment. And I think that we as a culture have just opted out of fighting for our freedoms. Like we're like, oh, we're already free. We're a free nation. We live in a democracy. And we've really just pulled the wool over our eyes. And what's happened is we've let a small group of highly corrupted people take over a system that was really built for the beauty of everyone. And I think that that's the awakening that's happening, is Americans are starting to wake up, and they're starting to say, okay, something's going on. Something is going on with our children. We've never seen chronic illness like this. We've never seen speech delays and seizure disorders and neurological disorders and behavioral disorders and all. I mean, you talk to any teacher, any educator, they're going to tell you that they have seen a dramatic shift in the last 10 to 15 years in the classroom. So why is that? And I think it's just us coming to the realization that there are some negative evil forces at play, and that's hard for people to wrap their minds around. But there's always been greed and corruption in huge companies. And I think people, if you break it down for them, like, okay, these are multi-billion dollar corporations that have not a lot of liability, and they have completely bought out our congressional situation and in the White House, and they really own a lot of things. So at that point, it's, where's our responsibility to protect our personal liberties? Like, not let them have our DNA, you know, not fall into the, you know. And I had a lot of people in my circle of influence do those tests, because a lot of practitioners, to get a medical exemption for vaccines, requires the 23andMe DNA testing. So we had a lot of people in our medical freedom movement doing all of those things. And then later come to find out they were going back into the same industry that we're trying to get away from. So it's a little bit of a big brother. I don't even want to say a little bit of a big brother. It is a big brother situation. And it's kind of like the George Orwell 1983 or 84 book, or whatever that book's called. And it's kind of like living in a movie where you're like, is this really real? This sounds so sci-fi and it sounds so bizarre. But if you take the time, and here's what I want to say to anyone listening that's kind of on the fence, that is like, wow, this sounds crazy, this chick is crazy, I really challenge you to research and dig into everything that we've talked about today, because everything that can be spoken about today can be backed up with facts, and facts from the CDC, the FDA, the EPA, the WHO, I mean, really legit, what we consider legit organizations. But if you look past that first page, if you dig a little bit further, if you open your mind up to there might be some corruption here, you're able to see things differently.
And there's so many medical doctors actually that are speaking up and speaking out about it, in which, I mean, I've known medical doctors who have left the pharmaceutical industry, left the medical industry because of them knowing, quote, too much. And then the medical doctors, I mean, Gerson's theory, Dr. Gerson, going way back to years ago, I mean, he was one of the doctors that I studied and his whole philosophy of healing the body. I mean, he was a medical doctor. So not only just doing independent research, but there's a lot of medical community people that even the CDC and stuff, that what they call whistleblowers, that are speaking up and speaking out about it.
Oh, yeah. And we've seen, I mean, I've personally seen in the last 3 to 4 years, a huge awakening in the healthcare practitioner field, where I think most doctors know what's going on right now. And a lot of them are scared because we're seeing doctors get disbarred. We're seeing doctors, not disbarred, that's an attorney, but we're seeing doctors have their medical license stripped. We're seeing them being made fun of in the media. Where this is also why celebrities don't speak out. There's most of Hollywood and famous actors and musicians don't vaccinate their children, and half of Washington doesn't vaccinate their children. But nobody wants to be the brave person that's like, hey, I'm standing up to this corruption, because then they are slammed in the media. And that's what I call the medical mafia. They take you and they try to destroy your life. We saw them do it with Andy Wakefield. They did it with Jenny McCarthy. They did it with anybody. You know, Dr. Gerson, whose institute is now in Mexico because he can't even practice. Like, he's healing people of cancer. That institute's still healing people of cancer, and they're not allowed on U.S. soil. I mean, it's just, it blows your mind. So it's really about public health. And that's what I always encourage everybody to do. If you really still think that these organizations or these entities are protecting public health, I encourage you to look further, because there's always a profit margin, and with absolute power comes absolute corruption, and they get to do whatever they want. And so we can go back to the early 40s, 50s. Renee Cassie was a nurse down south. I forget what state she was in originally, but she had a clinic where she was making this ancient tea from Indians, and she was healing cancer. And so she had people, you know, stage 4, you know, terminal cancer patients, they come in and they'd leave walking in 2 weeks. And so she had people lined up her facilities, and the government found out about it, and they came and arrested her. They came in with full like gear and shut her down, because that's when chemo and radiation were really taking hold of the pharmaceutical medical model of healing cancer. And they were like, this girl, we're not gonna let this girl screw it up, you know? So it's like, those are like the OG matrix mamas that were like fighting the corruption, you know, decades ago. But it's all there. If you look, it's all historically documented, and it will really alter the way you think about the world. And I think that's what's hard for people, is they want to feel safe in their bubble. They want to feel protected. But at the end of the day, you're not protected just because you're ignorant to it. Like, that doesn't protect you. It's actually much more liberating to be in the know and to say, okay, how do I get my family out of this agenda? And that's what we kind of talked about in the beginning. That's what we've done. We built a house, we moved out of the city, we're on a self-sustaining property, we're their own water, we're growing our own food. So we're really trying to live what I teach people. I want to live it every day as well.
And I admire that. So going back to, you were talking about living a self-sustained lifestyle, but for people that follow you on social media, they can go back and look at the whole process of that year that you guys were living in a trailer with 3 kids and building your house, and it's self-sustaining. It's so cool. I can't wait to come visit. I've never told you this story, but talking about banning people out of the U.S. So when my son was in the hospital, it was when we were in one of the local hospitals, but his holistic doctor, who had been helping him for so many years, tried to come visit him in the hospital, and he was not allowed.
Wow.
So he was his chiropractor and holistic nutritionist, and he was not even allowed into the hospital system. And so it's just interesting how there is that that conflict between the two. So some of the moms, I know you've connected with literally thousands and thousands of moms across the world. You know, for people who follow you on Facebook especially, you have some videos that have gone viral, hundreds of thousands of views. And what are just some things that people have, like, side effects? I mean, I know times that you and I have been out in California together, you'd get messages where it was literally vaccine injury after injury after injury. But just a couple of stories, just so people can understand what the gamble is. It's basically like playing Russian roulette with a loaded gun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what people, instead of fearing the diseases that we vaccinate for, because that's really been the slogan of the pharmaceutical industry, fear measles, fear chickenpox. I mean, my gosh, everybody that's probably listening to this had chickenpox and they're fine. Fear the flu, fear this, fear that. Everything is fear driven. And what I really want to encourage parents to be more afraid of is the diseases that vaccines cause. And vaccines are temporary fake immunity, which we can break that down. You said it in the beginning, vaccination doesn't equal immunization. And I can explain what that means. But just because you are injected with something, it doesn't mean that you are protected. And every scientist, every immunologist, every vaccine pro advocate will tell you that vaccines are not 100% effective. Nobody can ever say that. So the only way that you're ever truly immune to a disease is if you catch it naturally and then your body's able to recover from that, which measles is a great example. People are so afraid of measles right now. If you get natural measles, it's a 4 to 5 day rash. You have a little fever. You're going to, you know, you probably will feel like crap, of course, but you'll get better. And then you have lifelong immunity in your body. So it's not anything that's super dangerous. And it actually protects against various different cancers and situations, other diseases later in life. There's a lot of studies that show that natural measles is very effective at protecting even like heart disease and congenital heart failure and stuff later in life. So there is my thing is the minute we step farther away from nature and God's plan, the more screwed up we get. And so to answer your question, like what do people have to be aware of in terms of side effects? I mean, just read a vaccine insert. You can go on FDA.gov and you can pull every single vaccine insert on the market. And I encourage you to do this and read the documented legally binding side effects from that product, and it will blow your mind. They are much more scary from a parental standpoint than the actual disease that you're vaccinating for. So for example, the MMR vaccine causes encephalitis, which that's why that in the news, everybody's talking about getting encephalitis from the measles. Can you get it from natural measles? Sure, but you can also get it induced from the MMR vaccine. The MMR vaccine also causes death. It causes type 1 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes you have for the rest of your life. So we have an epidemic of children with type 1 diabetes. Why is that happening? Maybe it's because they're all getting injected with the MMR. So seizure disorders. I mean, parents that don't have children with seizure disorders, I get, and Bridget, you have read these messages on my phone.
Oh, yeah.
Been at lunch and dinner. I mean, it's devastating to get messages from parents. I mean, we've got kids that are having 50, 100 seizures a day. I mean, imagine your child, you're watching your child have a seizure and you can't do anything to stop it. I mean, it is just the most atrocious thing to ever go through. So seizures was listed on every single vaccine insert. Eczema, I know you went through that with your, I mean, they knew back in the early 1900s and even late 1800s that vaccines were causing eczema. And you can go back and pull documents from doctors that were talking about never ever vaccinate a child with eczema, they could die from the vaccine. And so there's so much rich knowledge there if people really want to dig into it. But what I encourage parents to do is start to educate yourself about the diseases, the lifelong diseases that vaccines cause, rather than be afraid of the temporary illnesses that vaccines are supposedly protecting against, which we know they don't very well. I mean, even the people are afraid of pertussis, the DTaP, which is diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus, it's 3-in-1. According to the CDC surveillance documentation on that product, children that receive all of the recommended doses have a 5-time higher chance of developing pertussis than children that are unvaccinated. So it's like, where are those statistics on the nighttime news? Like, that's what people need to hear, and they deserve to hear it.
So really quickly, tell us about the difference between vaccination and immunization.
Yeah. Well, vacca, like the root word of vacca is cow, which people don't know that. But it's literally because Edward Jenner, the creator of the original smallpox vaccine, took cow pus, and he on his deathbed said that it was actually infected horse pus. But that's just a whole nother side note. And he injected it under the arm of an 18-year-old boy without parental consent and all this stuff. Like, you can go down that rabbit hole. But just because you are vaccinated with something, it does not mean you are immune to it. Immunization and vaccination are not the same words. They are used interchangeably by the medical establishment. But if you look up the definition of both of them, they're not the same. And so immunization, being immune to something, means your body has created the proper antibodies to be immune to that disease. A vaccine does not create that. A vaccination just means you've been injected. You've just been injected with the disease and with all of the different microbes and contaminants and adjuvants that we've been talking about, but it does not mean that you are immunized against that disease. So I think just knowing that is really, really important. And medical professionals don't even understand this. We actually teach this in our Vax 101 class, and we've had medical professionals and nurses in our class, and they're like mind blown, because they never even thought about that those two words are not, they're not the same.
Yeah, absolutely. So you created a community. It's an international community. I don't know if it's just Facebook based or if it's just web based, whatever, but Matrix Moms, because I know that we have a lot of moms. Is it just for moms or is it parents, moms and dads?
It's not for dads. I wanted it to be exclusively for women because I wanted it to be a safe place for women to grow. And my mission with it is helping women opt out of the toxic agenda on all levels. Medical freedom is hugely important, but it's not the only step. As you know, it's nutrition, it's mindset, it's financial abundance, it's living into their God-given purpose. And I believe that the medical establishment, the media, our societal norms really stifle the natural talents and gifts and light that every woman has. And so Matrix Mothers is a movement for freedom. It's a revolution for choice and for living into our divine purpose. And so we just launched it in April. It's been hugely successful. Our Facebook community has over 1,200 women. We have 250 women on the waiting list to get in. And so it's really beautiful. And I built out, we get trolled a lot on social media. As you know, you see a lot of it.
Yes.
Yeah. I was tired of getting, censored, and I was tired of being watched and bullied and trolled. And so I created a platform. We have a private Facebook community that people can join. And then we have an offline community that's a paid membership site. It's a separate website. They have a private portal, all of my videos, content, tons of studies. There's a whole library, a database back there that people can plug into. And then twice a month in our premium membership community, they get access to all of my expert interviews. So I'm bringing in experts from all walks of life, nutrition, mindset, business, personal growth, spirituality, and I'm interviewing them, you know, to give tips and tools and resources of how do you raise your life to the next level and really completely opt out of the systems that we've been brainwashed to believe in. And so that's really what Matrix Mothers is about. And people can go to matrixmotherscommunity.com and they can check out the options. But it's been amazing because it's literally just been a month and like women just love it. They're flourishing in there. They have community. There's so much hate and bullying happening in the mainstream media. And I really wanted to be a catalyst for change to just stop the divisiveness and to invite all women in to learn and to grow together.
Well, and even just like in the Facebook group to have, like you said, a safe group so that other mothers can ask questions about, even if the fact that they're open-minded but still confused looking for answers, it's a community that they can ask questions or get clarity in that. So they can definitely, how can they plug into that Facebook group? Because I know it's a closed group.
Yeah, so they can just search Matrix Mothers on Facebook and then they will see the community page and they have to fill out a couple questions. And then we add them. It's been such an influx. I mean, we had 1,000 people join in 7 days. So it was like, whoa, you know, but for me, it was like a divine sign, like people really needed this. So we are processing people as fast as we can, but we are, you know, looking at their profiles, making sure they have a picture. We don't allow any trolls. And we know that the pharmaceutical industry hires people to go in and bully and coerce. And we don't allow that in Matrix Mothers. It's a safe place. But like you said, it's a place for them to ask questions and share their stories and not be discounted. And what's happening in our society, like I know this happened with you and your son, is when your child is injured by any other product other than a vaccine, people are like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. That's terrible. And they share your story and they love on you and they give you encouragement. When your child is injured by a vaccine, you're bullied, you're discounted, you're called names, you're called a liar, you're made fun of. And it's, I mean, we have women that have lost their babies, literally had their babies vaccinated, went home, put them to bed, and that baby never woke up. That baby died from vaccines. And then that person is getting bullied. You're lying. You didn't do it. You killed your baby. I mean, it's so horrific. So to have that safe space where women can share, they can ask questions, even if they're not like on the I'm not vaccinating train yet, they're just open. We had a bunch of women yesterday post like, hey guys, I'm new to this. My husband and I are researching. We're scared on both sides. Like, where do we start? And we had like 60 women just like pouring into them resources and, hey girl, I'm here for you, reach out. So I think it's super important because the media has pinned anti-vax parents and pro-vax parents against each other. And if we're fighting with each other, then we're not paying attention to what they're doing. And that's a brilliant, you know, it's demonically brilliant, as I say, but we're trying to change that and to form education and community.
It really is brilliant. I never thought of it in that perspective where it's the two groups fighting against each other. I mean, just be open-minded and respect the other decision. And like one of the things that I tell people, even if they choose to vaccinate, is separate the vaccines out and just educate on each one to give yourself an educated choice. So just in closing, what are just some last minute things that you feel like, I mean, it's an open platform that you want to share about vaccines, like any other topic, because you are such a wealth of knowledge when it comes to vaccines and what happens in the pharmaceutical industry and just the agenda, just everything. But and we've got, you know, a little bit of time left, but what would you like to share just very openly about any of that topic?
I mean, it's such a great question and it could go so many different directions. I honestly, just from my heart, I just want people to awaken into their divine spirit. And I feel like a lot of that is being stifled right now with lies and coercion. And that makes me so upset. It like fires, I stay up, you know, all night thinking about it. It fires me up in the morning. But the fact that our children are being poisoned for profit, I think that whether you are a parent or not, I think most people, if you're a good person and you have a good soul and a good heart, you care about children and you care about the betterment of humanity. And I really want to encourage you to open your eyes to what's going on right now and start to ask questions. We have millions, millions of parents with the same story that don't know each other from all different countries around the world, different walks of life, different educational backgrounds that are all saying the same thing. My child was healthy and strong. My child was talking. My child was walking. My child was hitting their milestones. And we took them into this well baby checkup and they were never the same. And when you have that many people that don't know each other saying the same thing, that is opening of truth. There's something true there that we need to look at as a society. So I would say to everyone listening, like, if you care about humanity and care about children, it's time to get fired up. Like, if you don't want the pharmaceutical industry to own you and to own your family and to own your educational system, your political system, your media system, your healthcare system, then it's time to get involved and to open your mind that maybe there's some stuff you don't know. And I certainly don't know everything. I'm constantly researching this topic. I'm constantly connecting with other experts in the field and figuring out how we can help these families. But we have multiple generations now that have been destroyed. And that to me is something that I'm not okay with. I can't have that on my watch in this lifetime. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to help be a part of that change. And I can't change all of it. We need every person to do the best. I mean, like what you're doing, Bridget, with this show, just even allowing me on here to speak today. I'm so grateful for you and your super powerful voice for women. And I know you inspire so many women around the world with your journey and overcoming triumph and financial challenges and everything that you've accomplished. So I think it's just really about tuning into your spirit and asking, like, is there something off here? And why are all the, you know, all these people can't be crazy. They can't, you know, they're well-spoken, they're educated, you know, all of these things. So yeah, I think it's just a time of awakening, and that for a lot of people, because it's change. And when you feel change, you want to, the human spirit wants to pull away. But I think we have to lean into that change and say, how can we be a part of that change in a powerful and empowered place where we're not hating each other, we're not killing each other, but we're rising up together to create a better nation and a world for our babies. So,
well, and you said something that was really on point that I actually ignored for so many years, but listening to that inner voice and listening to that nudge, because I remember when we had our first child, every pediatrician visit for years. I could not understand the vaccines. It just, in my heart of hearts, could not resonate with it. And, you know, she would give me all the stats, but this is what the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends. And here's the research and here's that, here's that. So she had the information to back it up. But in my gut, I knew something wasn't right. And then I just kept trusting her as a medical doctor. But then looking back, I mean, it was just that mother's instinct that something wasn't right. And, you know, we had found, you know, he has genetic predispositions for these type of thing. And so, you know, kids can have that. And that was one of the things that attracted me, like, to the DNA testing, was the finding out the genetic predispositions. And for me, being Asian in American culture, I wanted, like, more answers on the nutritional side. But it's definitely an awareness. It's definitely an eye opening. I would love for people to plug into the Matrix Mothers group on your website. I know we've got the website that it's on the bottom of the screen, but then also in the post. But how can we connect with you on social media via Facebook and Instagram? What are your handles and how can we connect with you?
Sure. I'm really just Brittany Kara, K-A-R-A, everywhere. So you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram at Brittany Kara. I have a YouTube channel. I don't really do Twitter. I think I have a Twitter account. I really can't even tell you what's on there. So
I don't do Twitter either.
It's probably not even good because I don't think I've logged in like 4 years. But Facebook and IG are really my two major platforms. And I share a ton of resources, a ton of educational resources through my Instagram stories, through Facebook Lives. And then I have on my website, BrittanyKara.com, I have multiple different courses and materials that people can get educated. So I do teach a 6-week vaccine education course with a medical doctor friend of mine. We partnered 3 years ago. We've certified over 350 professionals as a vaccine education specialist. So we actually teach everything that doctors should be learning in medical school about vaccines that they're not. So we teach informed consent, we teach the laws, we teach the vaccine ingredients, we teach the VAERS database, we teach the vaccine injury compensation program and how to heal and recognize vaccine injury. And it's been wildly successful. And so we have a Vax Solo option. People can take the course on their own without the certification. And we also have the certification course. We offer it 2 times a year. Our next course is coming up in September. So it's that and then Matrix Mothers. Those are my two main things. But you can just follow me on Facebook if you're brand new. I just invite you. It's a lot. I can be a lot for people. Like, this is so much, like, my brain hurts. But just follow me on Facebook and just start to tune in and listen in. And if you resonate with something, awesome. I'd love to hear from you. You can always send me a message. I'm very responsive on those. And if it's not for you, that's okay too. But I just encourage you to continue your education and awakening on whatever level feels right for you to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you're tagged in all the social media stuff too. So even that's all the ways that you can get in touch with her. But then she's also tagged. Your Insta stories are always so informative. I always love seeing behind the scenes of you and your kids and like the geese or something.
We had a wild turkey.
Yeah.
She since moved to another farm. She was really mean. She would like attack us. But yeah, we're actually in our home. No more trailer living. I don't recommend that. But if you want some funny videos, you can probably go back through my stories and
It's so fun. Yeah. Well, thank you, babe, for your time. I appreciate it. And I cannot wait for people to watch the content and be educated on it.
Thank you so much for having me.